All right, we're going to be back in the book of Colossians just a few minutes tonight.
I don't know if that's what's doing that or not, but it needs to stop. All right, Colossians chapter 1, I believe we made it through most of verse number 12. We're going to finish that up right now, and then we may get started on verse 13. I'm not sure if we'll make it there or not. So, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12. All right, so I believe we got most of this filled out, but we're continuing with the prayer and the thought that Paul had for this church at Colossae, and we're going verse by verse through here, and I'm doing some preaching, some teaching as we go through here. This is the epistle of the last days. We're not in any hurry to get through it, and praying the Lord comes back soon, amen. But if He doesn't, we're just going to continue going verse by verse, and sometimes it's only one verse or part of a verse we get through, but we're just taking our time going through here. I'm not in a hurry. And I think there's some wonderful truths in this book. We're about to get into some salvation doctrine here very soon. We're going to look at some of the great things that happened the moment we got saved. And those are good reminders of what Christ's blood did for us. And so we're going to be looking at that here soon. But Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12. Again, this is a continuation going from verse 9 all the way down through verse number 17. I'm not going to read all the scriptures again, but verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks unto the Father. Paul is praying that they not forget to be thankful for the blessings they have been given. And Dad gave a testimony Sunday about the little things that you take for granted sometimes. And so Paul's reminding them that they just need to make sure they give thanks unto God for making us meet to be partakers. And Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He said, made us meet. This is in the sense of a match. A word we would use today would be mate. Our salvation has been made possible for us to be partakers of the inheritance. And we looked at this last week. This inheritance is connected with your salvation. It's an inheritance you received when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This inheritance came with your new birth, and it is reserved for you in heaven. This is that inheritance. Ephesians 1:11 through 12, in whom also we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to be revealed in the last time. And so this inheritance is one that we received the moment we got saved. It's a spiritual inheritance we received the moment we got saved. And I talked about this last week about not confusing this with the earned inheritance, the earned rewards. And there's a lot of denominations or religious groups that confuse the two, and then next thing you know, you got people losing their salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. That's a part of our fixed inheritance. And that's what we're dealing with here in this text. And so I looked at a couple verses last week that deal with a earned inheritance. And we don't need to confuse the two. All right. I think this is about where I left off last week, isn't it? Is that right? Okay. All right. So we got those two verses. So this inheritance is said to be reserved in heaven for you. It's something that is there waiting for us. All right? And we've received it at the moment of salvation. The Bible speaks about two things that are waiting for us in heaven. This one here is reserved. This is talked about inheritance reserved for you in heaven. The Bible talks about two things that are waiting for us in heaven. Every Christian will move into a mansion when he gets there. The Bible talks about that in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. I've heard people make an argument that the Bible doesn't say we're going to get a mansion. And it doesn't exactly say that. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. So I think it would be safe to think that the Lord's building some kind of mansion for us, right? In the New Bible, it says, in my Father's house are many rooms. When I get to heaven, there's some people I don't want to share a room next to. Thankfully, I'll be in a new body with a new mind. And so maybe I'll feel differently when I get there, but I don't want to share a room. I don't want to think about that right now. I want my own mansion. Amen. Thankful I got a King James Bible. And so this is one of the two things that's waiting for us in heaven. The second thing, every Christian will receive a glorified body when the Lord returns. This is referred to as our hope in the Bible. So we're going to get a mansion or a place. If you want to be in a room, you can be in a room if you want to. A place, and you're going to get a new body, a glorified body, waiting for us in heaven. And I think just about everybody in here can say amen to getting a new body. I'm looking forward to it. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's something that we ought to be looking towards and looking for. Romans 8:23 through 24. Romans 8:23 through 24. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And this is not a hope-so salvation. We have a hope. We know we're going to get a new body. And it's something that we are definitely looking forward to. Now, in verse number 5, we looked at some additional cross-references to go with this glorified body. And I'm just going to give them to you if you want to write them down. Or you can go back to verse number 5 and they're spelled out for you. Philippians chapter 3, 20 through 21. That's Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Colossians 1, 27. And again, if you go back to verse 5, these verses are there. We covered that subject already. Romans 8, 23 through 24. And 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Those are just some additional cross-references that can go there. All right, so I talked last week about this fixed inheritance. There's a fixed inheritance, and then there is an earned inheritance. And I'm just gonna give you these real quick. You can write them down. The fixed inheritance is not to be confused with the earned inheritance found in the Bible. I preached on this at the nursing home this past Sunday on this subject, but you can earn an inheritance by serving Christ, found in Colossians 3. You can earn an inheritance by suffering for Christ, found in Romans 8. You can earn an inheritance by not denying Christ, found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You can earn an inheritance by living clean. And there's crowns the Bible talks about that we can earn and win. And all those are earned as well. And I'm not going to go over all those verses right now. All right, this verse talks about the saints, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Saints in light. This is a reference to the spiritual light that a person stepped into when they got saved. I'm going through the book of John just in my personal study, and I know I've put out some pastor's personal study videos and things like that, and there'll be another one in the next couple of days. But John's talking about being a witness, John the Baptist being a witness of that light, being a witness of the light, which is Jesus Christ. The moment we got saved, we got light. We went from darkness to light, and that's what the next verse is going to talk about in verse number 13, going from darkness to light. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 5 says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Now the light the world wants to talk about is something different than Jesus Christ, but He is the light. You know, in the beginning when God created the heaven and earth, God was the light. I mean, before the sun and the moon were created, there was light there already. We get to the new heavens and new earth. Jesus Christ is the light of New Jerusalem. He's that light. The moment we got saved, we became light. All right, this brings us to verse number 13, and I'm going to get started on it tonight. And more of my printing error. There's two holes for each spot in some of these. All right, Miles. One piece per person. All right. So this is verse number 13. Uh-oh. What's happening? All right, verse number 13. Now we're getting into some verses that we start dealing with some salvation doctrine. This verse and verse number 14, there's so much in these verses. And so there's no way we're going to make it through verse 13 tonight, but we're going to get started. All right, so talks about in verse 12, verse 9, all the way through 12, these things that he's praying for these saints at Colossae. And then he mentions the Father. And he mentions the saints in light. And so verse 13, the who is referring to the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. And he goes on, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who, the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is Jesus Christ. So now he's going to go from praying for these saints at Colossae for these different things, that they walk worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful, strengthened, giving thanks. Now he's going to start talking to them about God the Father and the Son. This verse is talking about our salvation. When we step from darkness to light and from Satan to God. Now, if you've been saved for a while, and especially if you've been in your Bible or been under good Bible preaching and teaching, you eventually understood some things that happened the moment you got saved. In Colossians, we're about to get into some of that. But the very moment you got saved, I know maybe you felt like a weight was lifted and a burden was gone, all those things. Different people have different ways to describe the moment they got saved. But there's so much that took place, there's no way we could understand it all right then and there. I don't know if we'll fully understand it till we get to heaven, what all took place the day we got saved. But being transformed from darkness to light, from Satan to God, a transaction took place. An immediate transaction took place. The Word of God, the discerner that we've been preaching about, the Holy Spirit used it to do an operation in our heart. And we're going to look at There's so many doctrines, salvation doctrines in Colossians. We're going to look at those, spiritual circumcision and those kind of things. All that took place immediately. And we were delivered from the power of darkness. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18 tells us to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He delivered us from the power of darkness. At salvation, a person is taken out of Satan's kingdom and put into God's. Taken out of Satan's kingdom and put into God's, a person that is lost in darkness because of the blindness that they are under from Satan. So if a person is in darkness, they are so because of blindness from Satan. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the little g, God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so there's people today, they're wandering around in darkness, spiritually speaking. They're wandering around in darkness because the little God, the devil of this world, have blinded the minds. He doesn't want them to see the light. He doesn't want them to see the light of the gospel. So he's blinded their minds. And so the day we got saved, we were taken out of darkness. We were delivered from the power of darkness. Ephesians 4:18 said, having the understanding darkened. This is describing what took place before you got saved. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. This book is a light. It's a lamp. And the day you got saved, there had to be a gospel presence the day you got saved. And that gospel presence was a light that the Holy Spirit allowed you to see for the first time. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness. There is a lot of scripture on this subject. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. There's a lot of things I don't understand about what the world does, but especially a child of God. There's some people I know that are saved. They say they're saved, but they always like to dress in all dark, dress in all black. And I know there's a certain group of people that does that, and I don't understand that. Man, when you're saved, you're in the light now. You're no longer in darkness. He tells them here, walk as children of light. You're saved now. Walk like you're in the light. Don't walk like you're in darkness. Walk like you're in the light. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the, what is it? Y'all know. Darkness. Of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our world, those that are lost, are in spiritual darkness. And if they're going to see light, it's going to be the light of this Word. It's going to be the light from a child of God showing it to them. We're supposed to be witness of that light. John was sent from God, a man sent from God to bear witness of that light. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bear witness of the light. And so the day we got saved, the very moment we got saved, we were delivered from the power of darkness. And I want to say, it is a powerful thing. You hear of these shootings. There was another shooting in Texas this week at a school. You hear of these shootings and you hear of kids that are taking their lives and cutting themselves and the music and all the things. Man, it's just really, really, really dark. And I thank God I was saved from that darkness. Saved from that darkness. Now, in this text, it says, "Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." This word translated, this is the very first mention of it in the King James Bible. I'm trying to bring that out as we're going through here. This is the very first time it's mentioned. It's mentioned a total of three times in two different verses. The other text is found in the Hebrews 11:5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him." There's the two of the three mentions. "For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, this is a biblical illustration. I like how the Bible defines itself. When it talks about who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He took us from darkness and put us into light. Took us from the kingdom of Satan and put us into the kingdom of God. And then when you look up the word translated in the Bible, he'll give you an illustration of it. And that is Enoch. He took Enoch that he should not see death. He walked with God 365 years, the Bible tells us. And God took him, for he was not. He translated him. He moved him to a different place. And that's what happened to us spiritually when we got saved. And physically, one day, we're going to be up in heaven. We're going to get a new body. And the Bible said his testimony was that he pleased God. After salvation, after our translation, we ought to please God. We ought to please God in everything that we do. The biblical definition of the word translated is to transpose. It's to transfer. It's to remove from one place to another. It's what took place spiritually for us, one day physically. Of a change or situation or place, to remove from the office or of a steward, to depart from life, to die. That's what all the word translate means. And so there's an illustration in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 of this translation. All right, it says, "And hath translated us." This is what took place the moment you were saved. All right, and let's end tonight by looking up these verses. You don't have any more notes in your paper. Let's just look these verses up. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 through 22. Talking about going from darkness to light. When I was studying this afternoon, I just kept running across verses. Instead of typing all these ones out, I figured we'd just go look at them. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 through 22. Paul gives us many illustrations of this translation that took place. Romans chapter 6, verse number 17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." That's the gospel. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. But as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Talking about translation from darkness to light. Something took place, a change. Verse 20, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? From the end of those things, for the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. A translation from darkness to light. Look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul reminded many of the churches he wrote to about this transaction. And many of the times, if not all of them, after he reminded them of these things, he encouraged them, don't live after sin no longer. Walk after the light. Walk as the children of light. You're saved now. You're free from sin. You're no longer in bondage to it. He tried to encourage them to follow after this light and not after the darkness. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And what? Such were some of you. Talking about this translation from darkness to light. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Look at it in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul showing the contrast between darkness and light. You may choose to dabble in darkness after salvation. And I hope and pray that if you do, it puts you under conviction immediately that you're doing that. But I'm telling you, you're no longer bound to darkness. We were free from the power of darkness. Free from the power of darkness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 3. We're going to read several verses. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Talking about that darkness. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All these verses talking about being translated from darkness to light. It's not using those words, but that's exactly what he's talking about. Look at Titus chapter 3. Last one, and then we'll finish with this tonight. Titus chapter 3. What is another way to describe hell? It's called everlasting what? Darkness. I have been freed from the power of darkness the very moment I got saved. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. We've been preaching about deception. Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is being translated from the power of darkness into the glorious kingdom of His dear Son. Being transferred into that light. That's what this is talking about. And all those things in verse number 3 I just mentioned before salvation, you were stuck in those things. Now it's sad that people after salvation will go right back to doing these things. I mean, everything in that verse you can find in a church. Foolishness, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts. All these things can be found in the church. Pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. You could probably find that in just about every church. But you're not bound to that if you're saved. Because it says here that when he's by his mercy, he saved us from those things. If we ever feel any of those things build up within us and in our heart, and we begin to have hateful thoughts towards another person, or we begin to have lust towards something or somebody, the pleasures and malice and envy, if those things begin to build up in us, we immediately need to recognize those are of darkness, they're not of light. And Lord, would you help me to squash those immediately? You say, well, you don't understand how bad I've got it, or what's been done unto me. Does it really matter? Amen? I don't want those feelings to overtake me and that darkness to come over me. Whenever somebody's going through some hard times, emotionally, spiritually, physically, they call it dark days. I've been through some dark days. Isn't that what they say? I'm going through a dark time in my life. We've heard people say that. Maybe even we ourselves have thought, I'm going through a dark time. Well, I want to tell you that darkness is not of God. It's not of God's not the author of confusion. And He has freed you from the power of darkness. I know that people go through things in their life and they go through discouragement and stress and depression. I know depression's a real thing. People go through some very depressing times. But I'm thankful that we have a light that can help us get through those times. Because I know it's a real thing. I know people go through it. I mean, I've experienced some things in my life. I don't necessarily think it's a sin to be discouraged or go through depression. But it is if we choose to live in that and not let God help us. Not allow the Word of God and church and preaching and each other to strengthen one another to get out of it. But there's people that choose to live in it. And if you're saved, you've been freed from darkness. You do not have to live in that dark time. We go through valleys. And man, it's in the valleys where the lily grows. It's in the valleys where we see the light the brightest. In a dark place, when we open this Word, the darker it gets, the brighter this book shines. We go through valleys and mountaintops and all the time. We go through dark places. But I'm thankful the Bible tells us this Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have a light inside of us. We have a light to guide us. God's given us the local church that's supposed to be a light on a hill. There's light all around us for us to tap into. No reason to live in darkness. Go through dark times. I'll tell you what. Follow the light. When somebody's dying, they say, don't go toward the light. Well, I'm telling you, as a child of God, run to the light. Run to the light. Don't stay in darkness. And if you're lost, I believe I know everybody's testimony in here tonight that everybody's saved. I don't know who may be listening to it. But if you're lost, you're living in darkness. Whatever light you think you might have that you're trusting on for salvation, if it's not Christ, it is a false light. What's that animal down in the ocean that's got a little light bulb that comes off its head? And fish come up to it and then that's what's happening. Amen? You need Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I was translated from darkness to light. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Thank you for being here tonight. I know many of you had to take alternate routes to get here. Hopefully you don't have to do that to get home. About two or three hours ago, there was a truck flipped over upside down here at this intersection. That's a bad intersection, so you watch out when they leave. So, Brother Carl, will you close us in prayer tonight?